As our children are dismissed, I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Our preschoolers through third graders are welcome to go out to our children's worship. We ask God's blessing upon your time together and ours as well. Galatians chapter 6. If you've been keeping up with our Bible reading, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, hey, this is a good time to get back into it. So if you've been reading over this past week, you probably know we're well into Matthew by now, aren't we? But I couldn't let go of Galatians from a week ago, and so I want to go ahead and take time to look at a passage there, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And I want to thank Michael David for stepping in on short notice last week and preaching a message that I hate to preach. And so thank you for taking one for the team on that. I appreciate that. As I was listening to the sermon coming back from Arkansas last Sunday, I thought, you know what? Every year we should have like a pinch hitter get in and preach those giving sermons. Wouldn't that be so much better? So if you'd like to be a pinch hitter in the future, you just let me know. That'd be great. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And actually, I want to start by reading that text this morning. Verses 7 through 10. Beginning in verse 7, God's word says this. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Will you pray with me? Father, as we turn our attention to your word this morning, we know it is living and it is active and it is powerful and it is effective and it is transformative. And I pray that it would be all of those things in each one of our lives here this morning. Help us to rightly understand and rightly apply it for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you probably know by now that there are certain laws that kind of govern the world we live in, right? Certain natural laws that are, some of them very intuitive, right? You don't have to go to school very long to understand that there's a law of gravity, right? When you fell down as a little toddler learning to walk, you experienced gravity. And you know what? There was just no way to overcome that law. There are laws that we understand almost intuitively. Law of gravity holds matter to the earth. And maybe we learned in school that if you drop an object from a certain distance, it's going to accelerate at 9.8 meters per second squared. Gravity just does that, right? We have the law of gravity. We probably know this one too, Newton's third law of motion. If something exerts a force on you, that second object, or you, if you're that second object, will exert an equal and opposite force on it, right? If you've ever been in a car accident, you didn't need somebody to teach you that law. You knew it. You know that's how it works. But there are other laws that govern our universe as well. The law of conservation of energy. Maybe you don't know that one. Maybe you're not familiar with it. It's saying that in any closed system, right, without other things acting on it, energy remains constant. And there are all kinds of other laws that govern our universe, but there's one that I want to focus on this morning, one that I want us to really give our attention to this morning, and that is the law of sowing and reaping. Like these other laws, you can't get away from it. You can't avoid it. You can't dismiss it. It simply is. It's a reality. It's one of those laws that God has woven into the fabric of the world that we live in. Now, this one's pretty simple to understand, the law of sowing and reaping. We know, especially living in rural community here, we know if you sow alfalfa in your field, you're going to reap alfalfa. We know that if you sow soybean in your field, you're going to reap soybean in your field. And it's also true in this law of sowing and reaping, if you sow a little, you'll reap a little. And if you sow more, you'll reap more. This is not rocket science, right? We see this in the world around us all the time. We understand how this works. Well, We see this in the world around us, but we also see it here in Galatians. And I want us to see some application this morning to this law of sowing and reaping, or reaping and sowing, however we want to look at it there. Before we get into this principle, though, I do want to put it in context. I thought about this, and I thought, you know, it's right and it's fair to put it in context. I didn't read verse 6 there in Galatians 6, but it says, "The one who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches." And so really, in the context of this law of sowing and reaping, what Paul is saying is there's so much bad teaching, so much heretical false teaching going on around you, that it is good that you take care of those who teach the word to you. Right? You should take care. He says, you know, being taught the word is so important and so valuable that churches ought to support their teachers. He doesn't say how much, and he doesn't say, you know, give them vacation or anything like that, but he does say share all good things. Again, because in a world of false teachers, in a world that we live in today, where it's even more so, it seems like, than it has ever been, solid teachers who are supported by the church, who can give their time and energy to study and proclaim the word rightly, is a blessing. And I thank you all for that opportunity that you give me to be able to do that. But following this exhortation that churches should support their teachers, that Paul says in verse 7, "Do not be deceived, you reap what you sow." You will reap what you sow. And so we can look at it in the context of that with teachers, right? I mean, if you have bad teachers, you're going to reap bad theology. Right? If you have good teachers, you're going to reap good theology. But this principle applies in so many other aspects of our life as well. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want us to see five principles of the law of sowing and reaping. The first one is this: sowing always leads to reaping. Emphasis on always. Sowing always leads to reaping. In God's economy, that's the way it works. When you sow, you reap. That's the way it works in God's world. Verse 7 warns, though. It says, "Do not be deceived." Let's be careful that we're not deceived. Now, deceived how? What is the Apostle Paul talking about here? Well, he says, don't be deceived thinking you can mock God. Don't be deceived thinking you can avoid these laws that God has woven into our universe. Don't be deceived in thinking God is not sovereign. He cannot be tricked. He cannot be confused. He cannot be mocked. And when the text says God is not mocked, listen, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, as a parent, when you look at your child and you say, "I will not be spoken to that way." Now, the truth of the matter is, they might speak to you in a disrespectful way, but oh, there are consequences, amen? There are consequences. I hope so. If you're doing it right, if you're parenting right, there are consequences. Okay, with God, same thing. God is not mocked. And if we should choose to mock God and ignore these laws, these principles, there are consequences. And we'll see some of those consequences here in just a moment. So two quick challenges here as we think about this. First, let's not ever think that we will sow and not reap. That we will sow and not reap. God isn't playing games with us when it comes to this law. I mean, reaping is a reality. And the reality is all people are sowing something in this life. We're all doing something with our life. You can say my life has no purpose, but that's a lie. Our life has some purpose, something that we're focused on, something that we give our attention and our time to. Everybody's sowing something, and so everybody will reap something. All right, so let's not ever think we will sow and not reap, but let's flip that over now. Let's also not ever think that we will reap and not sow. Just flip that over. Don't ever think we will reap and not sow. There are some people in this world who think, you know, in the end, everybody's going to reap the same thing. In the end, everybody's going to reap or receive eternal life, and it doesn't matter what they sowed during their life or if they sowed anything in their life that was good, but that's a mistake. It's a mistake. We'll see that again as we go on. They say it doesn't matter if you sow truth, if you sow good, but let's not be mistaken. Sowing always leads to reaping. And I want to build on that with the second principle this morning. Number two, what is sown determines what is reaped. Emphasis on determines. The thing that we sow determines what is reaped in our life. Look at verse 7 again. The Apostle Paul here says, whatever one sows, that will he also reap. You hear that? Whatever you sow, whatever it is you're sowing, doing, working in your life, that will he also reap. I had a friend in college who had the same major as I did. We had the same classes and we had the same papers to write. And you know, when it comes to writing papers, I am not a procrastinator. A week or two in advance, I write that paper, it's done, no stress, no worries, no anxiety, anything like that, right? But my friend, for 3 years, every time we had a paper due in a class, he would come to my room, because I had a computer and he didn't. Back in those days, that wasn't uncommon, all right, for you younger people who don't understand that. But he would come to my room the day before the paper was due, the evening before the paper was due, and he'd have all of his books in his hand, and he would sit down at my computer, and I'd go to bed. And when my alarm went off in the morning, every time it was the same response. He'd look up and say, I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. You know, there are a lot of lessons there, aren't there? But especially this one, what you sow, you will also reap. When you sow procrastination, you sow exhaustion. Or excuse me, you reap exhaustion and you reap stress in your life. And Scripture makes a similar point in verse 8. Look at verse 8. Again, it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, I don't want us to be confused here, so let me put a little caveat in there. Let's not ever think that what we do, that our works, that the things that we're sowing, that they determine our salvation or can somehow give us salvation. As a matter of fact, I want to quote Scott McKnight. He makes a very good point here. He says, to be sure, the basis of our acceptance with God is what Christ has done on our behalf. Amen? Let's agree there. But for God to assess whether we are attached to Christ, he'll simply scan the evidence of our lives. You see, let's be clear about that. Our life is giving evidence. Every one of us is giving evidence about what really is taking place in our hearts, what is really happening in our lives. And so if we constantly sow selfishness and pride and evil and all of the things that the Apostle Paul calls sowing to the flesh, we'll reap corruption and judgment. Let's make no mistake about that. But good news is simply this. If you sow to the Spirit, if you sow to those things that come from the Spirit, that are welling up the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you're sowing goodness and righteousness in your life, the great news of the gospel is you will reap eternal life. What is sown determines what is reaped. And the reason for that is because, remember, whatever we sow is giving evidence of what has already taken place in our life. It gives evidence of gospel transformation, or not, in our lives. So don't ever get that confused. What is sown determines what is reaped. What you sow in your field is what you're going to reap in your field, right? I mean, the things that we do determine what we receive. So what is sown determines what is reaped. There's a third principle I want us to see, though, and it's this. Sow in the present, reap in the future, all right? Sow in the present, reap in the future. In verse 9, Paul tells the Galatians, in due season, we will reap. Not necessarily right now. He says, in due season, we will reap. Now, I'm going to confess something to you that maybe, you probably do, but maybe you don't know about me. I'm not the most patient person in the world. I'm really not. I like things now. I like things immediately. I like instant. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, here a while back, my wife was telling me that she would love to plant some apple trees in our yard. And she looked at me like this was the clincher. She said, if we plant them now, we could have apples in like a couple of years. A couple of years? What? Who does that? If I want apples, I can go to the grocery store and get them now, right? I mean, I want something now. We live in a culture of instant, though, don't we? A culture of right now, of instant. I mean, we have instant potatoes. We have instant coffee. We have instant results, right? I mean, I can go on my phone and see the instant results of every game that was played. We like that. At least I do. And I imagine a lot of you are like me in that aspect. So when we sow in our spiritual lives, when we sow, we want to reap quickly many times. Like, Lord, if I'm doing good, if I seem to be sowing to righteousness, I'd like for tomorrow morning for my day to be much better. Like, I'd like to have one of those killer Mondays where everything goes right. Right? No problems. No co-workers cause problems for me. And my boss, you know, brings me coffee and puts it on my desk, right? I mean, we all want that. God, I was in church Sunday. What are you talking about? We want instant results. When we sow, we want to reap quickly. And when we don't reap quickly, sometimes we doubt it's going to happen, don't we? Sometimes we begin to doubt. We begin to wonder, is it really going to happen? Yet listen, reaping is in due season. In due season. Sowing and reaping almost always has some amount of time in between the two. There's almost always time in between them. Now, hear this now. God will not fail to keep his promises. Understand that the growing season of your faith and of your sowing is lifelong. God did not say, give me a year of your life. Give me a decade. Give me your best decade of your life. He said, your whole life, give to me. Surrender to me. And so that growing season of our faith is lifelong. And so we sow now, and we continue to sow, and we let God prune us as we go along, right? Get that bad stuff out of there. Pull those weeds in our life, and we keep sowing and keep sowing. And then when due season arises, and we stand before God, we will reap. We will reap. There's two kinds of reaping, though, that this passage tells us. The unrighteous will reap judgment and death, but he says the righteous will reap eternal life. And every good thing from our good God, good and holy and just God. That should be encouragement to us. Keep on doing good. Keep on sowing righteousness because we will reap very, very good things when that season comes. Sow in the present, reap in the future. The fourth principle is this. Good reaping is connected to perseverance. Good reaping is connected to perseverance. I want to finish what Paul said in verse 9. I just kind of hinted at it a moment ago. He says this, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Notice two key phrases there. Let us not grow weary and if we do not give up. Do you see perseverance in each of those? Do you see a continuation of sowing, a continuation of faith, a continuation of worship in that? Do not grow weary. Almost everything in nature teaches us this principle if we'll just look at it, if we'll kind of observe nature around us. When you plant crops, you have to wait for the right season to reap those crops, or you don't get them. When you breed animals, you have to endure and persevere through that gestation period, or you don't see new life in those animals. And, I mean, I don't know. I just wonder if God did this on purpose to teach us perseverance, to teach us patience. Apparently, I haven't learned that lesson, but he does teach it. He teaches it. The same is true in our spiritual lives. Reaping eternal life is for those who persevere. I want to show you this. I'll give you a few examples to give you the weight of Scripture on this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, you have need of endurance in order to receive what is promised. You have need of endurance. You have need to persevere, to continue on. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Hey, these are terms of perseverance. Be watchful. Don't go to sleep. Don't turn your head away. But what does he say? Stand firm in the faith. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. And then Matthew 24, 13. Jesus said, the one who endures to the end will be saved. We've said this before. The Christian life, the spiritual life, it is not a sprint, it is a marathon. And we're to keep going, to press on all the way, persevere to the end. The one who endures, not for a little bit of time, but endures until the end will be saved. Listen, we do not, as I said a moment ago, we do not persevere in our faith in order to earn our salvation. Let's get those words, earn and deserve, out of our vocabulary when it comes to our relationship with God, all right? We don't persevere in order to reap salvation, but let's make no mistake, our perseverance is evidence of salvation that is already in progress. You hear that? Salvation that is already in progress. It's a persevering salvation. It's an enduring salvation in our lives. So, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in sowing to the Spirit. Believe Jesus is coming back. Don't give up growing spiritual fruit in your life. A time of great reaping is coming. And now here's the thing. There are times when that reaping is seen like in a small little sample form in this life. Man, rejoice when that happens. Rejoice when God blesses you. Rejoice when God gives you those mountaintop experiences where you experience Him like never before. God gives us those on occasion. But listen, the full reaping of God's good and precious promises are yet to come. And any sample of that we receive in this life pales in comparison to what's coming. So we press on. So we persevere, waiting for that great day of reaping. The fifth principle is this. Sow good deeds to all, especially to believers. That's not me saying that. Listen to verse 10. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sort of a rhetorical question, but have you ever been asked to do something and your response was, I'll do it when I get a chance. I'll do it when the time seems right or when I have the opportunity. I'll do it when I get a chance. Now, let's be honest. You know that's code talk for, I really don't want to do this, but I might get to it one day, right? I mean, if we're being honest, we know that's what we're saying. I'm gonna get to that if I can't find something else to do, right? When the boss says, hey, that report needs to be turned in by Friday, yeah, I'm gonna be working on that. I'm trying here, right? I'm gonna get to that. You know, you get the idea on that. I won't elaborate on that. But let's be clear. Doing good to everyone can't be put into this same category. When the Spirit says, do good to everyone, it can't be put into that category of, yeah, when I get a chance, you know, if I should have the opportunity and it's really obvious and, no, it's not in that kind of a category. Notice what the text says. It says, as we have opportunity, not if we have opportunity. And there's a significant difference between those two statements. As we have opportunity, not if we have opportunity. In other words, you absolutely do have the opportunity, so take the opportunity to do good to others. He's very clear about this, right? Now, it's obvious we can't possibly meet every need that is out there. In the day-to-day of this life, there are lots of opportunities to meet needs of people around us. Our pockets don't go that deep. Our time is not that unlimited. There are lots of opportunities to do good. So what do we do in these instances? Paul says you've got to prioritize. How do you prioritize? He says you give priority to those who are of the household of faith. You give priority to your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why in all of the terminology of Scripture, it talks about the household of faith as being a body, as being a family, right? Jesus even looked to his own immediate blood family and said, no, these believers over here, these are my mothers, these are my brothers. He took it very seriously. Do good to everyone, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And I wonder if we were to be honest and ask ourselves the question this morning, when was the last time you did good to brothers and sisters in the church? When was the last time you intentionally, explicitly sought out a need in the church? Sought out somebody who's discouraged, maybe depressed in their life, maybe struggling in their spiritual journey, and you said, I can do good here. I can do good. When was the last time we did that? I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying we should ask ourselves those questions. You have the opportunity. The only question is, will we take the opportunity? Will we make time? Will we make room in our budget if that's what's necessary? Do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. Hey, listen, the implication here is when we do good to brothers and sisters in the church, then after that, we should have more margin in our lives, more margin in our budgets to go help others as well. They're not believers. They're not followers of Jesus. They're not related to me. I know. But Jesus did good, and Jesus had compassion, and Jesus ministered to so many whom he had never met before and never met again after that, at least physically speaking. And we follow his example. Do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I hope as we consider this passage this morning that we're not those people who will be deceived, and that we would never think that we can mock God, that we can somehow circumnavigate his laws, the principles that he has woven into the fabric of the world we live in. He is the creator. He's the one who sustains it all. He sustains us and has commanded us according to his word. We will reap what we sow. Are you sowing to the flesh today? Or are you sowing to the spirit today? Are you sowing to things that are about you? Are you sowing to what makes you happy, what gives you the most pleasure, what gives you the most comfort? Or are we sowing to the Spirit and producing fruit of the Spirit? The love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and self-control. Are we sowing things that lead to that? These are the things that are pleasing to the Lord. And I will say this morning, that as we think about what it means to sow to the Spirit, there's an assumption here. There's an assumption that a person has the Spirit within them. And the way that we have the Spirit of God within us is to surrender to Christ himself. To surrender to him. Jesus doesn't make it difficult, but yet it can be a very hard decision when we have to step off the throne of our lives and let Jesus have his rightful place. Sowing to the Spirit begins with a life surrendered to Christ. When we're willing and we're convicted to confess our sin and to turn from it. And when we're willing and we're ready and we're excited to trust Jesus for salvation and begin following him and persevering all the way to the end. Jesus said, turn from sin and turn to me. Believe the gospel message. Believe what I've done on your behalf. Today, we're all probably in different places in our life. And some of us have probably been doing this, been obeying this law of sowing and reaping for many years in our lives. And we understand clearly what Jesus is talking about, what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And maybe we just need that encouragement to press on, to keep doing it. Knowing that we are going to reap one day, we're going to reap some very, very good things. But there may be others today who are here by no accident, but you're here because God has you here. And what you need more than anything before you begin sowing to the Spirit is you need to surrender to the Spirit. You need to turn to Him, turn to Christ for salvation. We're going to have a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. We're going to sing a couple verses of that hymn of invitation. And during that invitation, I want to invite you to do something that's going to take some courage. I want to invite you to step out from your pew and come forward and just tell me what's going on. Tell me how the Spirit's working in your life this morning. And I would love to show with you how you can surrender, how you can have new life in Christ and begin a life of sowing to the Spirit and ultimately reaping eternal life in every good thing the Lord has promised for His children. Will you do that in just a moment? Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for Jesus. We are so thankful for the great and many promises of Your Word that are fulfilled, that are encouraged, that materialize in Christ Himself. And Father, my prayer this morning is that our lives will be centered on Christ and nothing else. That our lives will be committed to sowing to righteousness and nothing else. And that our eyes will be set on reaping life eternal with You and nothing else. Father, this morning as You're working in our hearts, I pray that You would convict us where that is necessary, that You would encourage us, help us to press on in doing good to everyone, press on in sowing to the Spirit. And Father, for the one who is here who, maybe they're not even sure why they're here this morning, we know it's no accident. We know You brought him here. And Father, if they're living a life that has yet to surrender to You, I pray You'd give them the boldness to come forward and receive eternal life today. We commit this time and ask Your Spirit to work powerfully through it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.